Wrestling has more than one royal family.
WrestleMania week, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome into the Work Shoot Show. Yes, it is WrestleMania week, and this is a special episode. These things will be happening more often post-Mania. So welcome in. It is Lyndon Burton. Pete will be here on Thursday's episode, where we will be predicting the WrestleMania card. This is not our WrestleMania prediction. I will explain what this is in a second. Pete will be on the show Thursday. We'll be doing our normal episode like we always do. I will drop it that night. Those will include our WrestleMania predictions, as well as, if everything goes right, we should have an interview with one of my favorite TikTok personalities, my guy Jonathan. He's also from Louisiana, aka Johnny Wrestling, 14,000 followers. He will be on the show to give us his thoughts as well. And this is something that's going to be happening more often. So I figured, with everything going on, I wanted to buy equipment. That's why episodes haven't been coming out as frequently. I told y'all the plan early to start the year, but I needed to buy equipment and I needed to buy things. So as you know, if you listen to Buzzer Beater Banter, my co-host Nick Sheremy is helping me build this studio. That's going to be great. But the thing is, I was hesitant on building it because I'm going to be moving soon. And I'm going to be moving in like June, end of May, June. But I said, screw it. We're making it anyway, because it's time. And post-WrestleMania begins the new era of the Work Shoot Show. So not only will Pete and I be doing our normal episodes, I will be streaming post-Raw, post-SmackDown sometimes. Definitely post-Raw, post-SmackDown, depending on what the roster is post-WrestleMania. And it's also harder because it's Friday nights. I have a girlfriend. We hang out. We are dinks, double income, no kids. So we have fun on weekends. And I work and do a lot of content during the week. I owe it to her for the weekends to be for her, especially if I'm going to be streaming during the week more often. So in terms of WWE, definitely on Monday Night Raw. It's definitely Mondays. Fridays, we will see. Some Fridays we'll do. I won't promise that, but definitely Monday Night Raw. And then on some AEW Dynamites as well. We will be streaming, and those episodes will go up on YouTube, along with, if we don't stream, we will have interviews and midweek episodes as well. And that's what this is. This week's midweek episode will be me discussing Raw, discussing wrestling and WrestleMania up to this point from a talking perspective. Won't be giving my picks, just to get excited, because it's WrestleMania weekend. It's WrestleMania week, man. You guys deserve all the content in the world. So I went get one of the biggest WrestleTalk creators. I will be going to a lot of TikTok, WrestleTalk creators, Wrestle podcasts to come on the show. But as you know, with Bros Who Think, I get the people that I think are quality. Just because you have a lot of followers doesn't mean I'm getting you. Brian H. Waters in the Wrestling Room podcast were the only guests for so long on this show because I respect them and I love the hustle. This is a guy that I also love his hustle. His name on TikTok is NarcolepsyBoy94, or you may know him by his real name, Malik Kelly. He's been in the content game, I believe he said, since 2016. Great, great wrestling brain, great wrestling IQ. I view him in the same way I view Jonathan. These guys view wrestling in a very, very interesting way. And I think it's worth having them on the show to discuss all the amazing things that we love in wrestling. I'm serious about taking this podcast and being one of the premier wrestling podcasts. And to do that, we're going to need help. We're going to need to get you other voices to hear to show you we are a credible source. So I want you all to be ecstatic. Work Shoot Show is taking it to a whole nother level post-WrestleMania. you will see this across the board. The way we go hard with anime, we're going to be going hard like that with Work Shoot Show. And we're going to be even going even harder with anime. So just be on the lookout. I'm excited for all of that post-WrestleMania. But here's the rundown for what I'll be discussing after the interview with Malik, if you want to stick around. I'll be giving my thoughts on the fact that both titles and the tag team have to be grabbed. That was mentioned on Raw. We're going to talk CM Punk's interview. Going to give my thoughts on Cody and Seth's huge L at Monday Night Raw. Sami Zayn's impactful Monday Night Raw promo that leads into WrestleMania. What's up with Andrade? Going to talk about that. Candice LeRae a little bit if we have time. Lil Wayne being at WrestleMania. And then what's the most important thing to me is why Jade, Bianca, and Naomi is important. Like I said, I'm not picking any of the matches. We're just having conversation. And I think the most important thing I'm going to discuss is why Jade, Bianca, and Naomi are so important. So, without further ado, let's get into our interview with Narcolepsy Boy 94, aka Mr. Malik Kelly. Hello, Work Shoot Show fan base. We have a very special guest today. I am super ecstatic. We got my guy. You may know him on TikTok. To me, he is my favorite WrestleTalk TikToker. You may know him by Narcolepsy Boy 94, but we have Malik Kelly on the show. How you doing, Malik?
Dang, man. Appreciate you for having me, dog.
Oh, super, super excited, brother.
We're talking
WrestleMania, the lead up, and just what we expect to happen at 40. And then I want to get to know you a little bit, and that's where we'll start. So tell us about what made you decide to get into WrestleTalk and become a wrestling TikToker and wrestling TikTok content maker.
It kind of just happened. It wasn't even a plan. It just kind of happened. The pandemic. So I was just posting random stuff on the internet and everything, and kind of just happened. So I kind of just stuck with it once I started to grow more and escalate more, and people started rocking with the content, and then the WrestleTalk community started to get even bigger. So,
and then that transferred into the podcast.
I've been doing podcasting stuff since 2016. So,
okay,
podcast stuff was nothing new. I mean, I've been doing stuff like that, but as far as getting big on TikTok, that didn't happen until 2020.
Hell yeah! And for the people that don't know, can you tell them where your podcast is so they can go and find it and whatnot?
No Name Wrestling Podcast is the name of our podcast. We go live every Sunday, 5 p.m. Eastern time zone, on my YouTube channel, Narcolepsy Boy 94. Some other people also plug in their YouTube channel, so you may be familiar with the platforms as well, because we stream on a Restream, so it allows other people to connect their channels and engage more viewers, more audiences. We allow people to also come in and chat with us from time to time. We do open mics once a month, so we'll be doing one. Not this coming episode after WrestleMania, but the next previous one. So we allow people to come in, debate, and everything. We always welcome the smoke. You know, sometimes people don't like the opinions that we say, and they always want to come and debate. So we allow all conversations. We don't back down from conversations, you know. So hell, if anybody is ever interested, you can check it out, Narcolepsy Boy 94, every Sunday, 5 p.m. Eastern time zone. And depending on what time zone you're in, you have to figure out what time.
Hell yeah. Well, I'm going to definitely be in the one where y'all letting people in, but let's get into it. So tell the community a little bit about yourself. What got you into wrestling? What would you, because you know everybody has the era. For me, I'm a Ruthless Aggression kid. I didn't get to experience the 90s all the way. And I know people like to say the Attitude Era, and I'm not on the, we're through with the 90s, the basketball movement where we're through with the Attitude Era. I'm not there. Yeah, to me, that's crazy. But like I said, I'm a Ruthless Aggression kid. What was your era, and who were some of your favorite wrestlers growing up?
Ruthless Aggression, man.
Ruthless
Aggression. Wasn't an Attitude Era kid either. I was a Ruthless Aggression Era kid. That's the best era in WWE to me. I agree. That was the best era. This era could possibly eclipse it. I'm not going to lie.
I'm glad you said that. I always like to transition, and even though we may be talking about one thing, if you bring something up, I always like to divert and then bring us back. I agree. I think this era, when it's all said and done, will be the best era in wrestling, legitimately.
It could be. I'm not going to go that far yet. I'm not going to Space Jam reach on that one. Yeah, I got to wait to see how long, number one, the era is and what happens throughout the era. I mean, the two best eras to me that I've seen in WWE was Ruthless Aggression and NXT Black and Gold. Those were the two best eras that they ever had. And also, the Attitude Era is the most popular, so those would be the top three, but I didn't get to experience it, like, in real time. I've gone back and watched it myself, but going back and watching clips and experiencing things in real time is two different things, two different beasts. So never really got to experience that in real time. But I was a Ruthless Aggression era kid. I started watching wrestling in 2004. So I've been watching for, 20 years now. So
legit, right there with you. I stopped, funny enough, in the PG era when it got really just, it was bad for a while, man. And I will say, to your point, you brought up NXT Black and Gold. That's what got me back into wrestling and got a lot of people our age back into wrestling. I think that era was so monumental because I think Triple H saw what was happening on the indies and basically was like, let's adopt this. And that's what wrestling is today, essentially.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I never took a break, never stopped. I was never one of those people. I just can't. I could never just give up wrestling and stop watching it fully. I will say 2018, 2019, when it was really bad, main roster-wise, I wasn't watching Raw or SmackDown fully, but I kept up with everything. I watched all the pay-per-views. Like, I was still in the sauce a little bit. Like, I knew what was going on. I knew what was happening. I just wasn't watching Raw and SmackDown because watching Raw through hours and watching SmackDown for 2 hours was
it didn't make sense.
There was nothing interesting going on, but I never understood the fans that just stopped watching. I don't know, man. Maybe it's just I'm different. Like, I could just never stop watching the product fully just because of one wrestler or just because certain things are bad. I always just knew that when it comes to wrestling, there were always going to be things I like and didn't like. I just pay attention to the things that I like, and I just don't care about the things and don't worry about the things that I don't like. I mean,
see, that's what I should have
done. Not every thing in wrestling is going to make everybody happy. There's so many fans you have to please. So even with the Ruthless Aggression era, I mean, there were things that I didn't care for, didn't like. I just didn't pay attention to it. I didn't want the Great Khali to be the World Heavyweight Champion, but it happened. So it was like, all right, he's the world champion. I'm just going to wait for it to end, and I'll just watch the stuff that I care about. You know what I mean? So I can never fully take myself out of pro wrestling in general. I mean, but there was, for a while, there were always, I guess you could say, ultimatums, because in the Attitude Era, you had the Monday Night Wars. I wasn't a part of that, but I was really big into TNA growing up.
That's what I was about to ask you, because I think our era had, we didn't have WCW, and we don't have we kind of had an AEW like we had today, and that was TNA. And I go back to thinking of Will Ospreay saying his speech, being a TNA kid, and I was a TNA kid as well because of Spike TV. Yep. And Samoa Joe and AJ Styles were those boys, man.
TNA was, I mean, they weren't as popular, but they were still putting on some pretty good stuff. Some stuff even better than WWE at that time frame. TNA, it really didn't catch my attention. My uncle is the one who got me into wrestling. He got me into WWE. And then he was trying to get me into TNA for a minute, but I was just WWE, man. I was like, I don't really got no interest in nothing else. But then he told me, he's like, man, you know your boy Kurt Angle in TNA.
Oh. I said, okay.
Now I gotta see what this is about, man, because Kurt Angle was one of my top five favorite wrestlers ever. So when he went to TNA, I was like, okay, it got to be something for real then. And then that's when I got introduced to like Abyss and Samoa Joe, AJ Styles, Christopher Daniels, Kaz, who was
I was about to say
at one point.
Christopher Daniels is who blew my mind. Like, I was like, yeah. Where has this guy been?
Amazing Red and, you know, yep. the Motor City Machine Guns. Chris Sabin is one of my all-time favorites, man. I was really big into Chris Sabin, still am, but Chris Sabin, when he was doing like the X Division stuff, nah, he was like
fire,
tier next. Like, so many great gimmicks.
Beer even money.
They were really good at building their own fresh stars, but also taking some stars from WWE, like a Jeff Hardy, a Mr. Kennedy, a Kurt Angle, Booker T, Bobby Lashley, just many others. And they were able to come into
the Dudleys,
TNA, and able to mix well. And TNA from like, I watched TNA fully from like 06 to like 2013. Once AJ Styles dipped, that's when I kind of fell off. And then TNA got really bad at one point. And they're kind of starting to build back up. I've been paying a lot more attention to it now, honestly, this year. I like the stuff that they're doing with Dolph Ziggler and Nick Nemeth and Mustafa Ali and everybody who's been a part of it. But
I agree with the new TNA stuff. What worries me is them losing Scott D'Amore because like people like Josh Alexander and Moose credit Scott D'Amore for like getting TNA to where it is today, back from the dog day eras. And it's like, man, with y'all losing him, will they lose Scott? Will they lose Josh Alexander? Will they lose Moose? Those are
Moose just resigned too, so he probably
so he did.
Yeah, he already had resigned last year, so he signed because Scott D'Amore.
Yeah, that's what. So when that's over, I could see those guys leaving. But so we got how you got in Ruthless Aggression Kid. Shout out to your uncle for getting you involved, telling you about Kurt Angle being on TNA. You said Kurt Angle was one of your favorite wrestlers, just so people can get an idea of your landscape of wrestling. Give me your top. I got to know the top five
favorites.
Favorites all time.
Okay, so when I first started watching, the first wrestler that I guess you could say gravitated my attention was Eddie Guerrero. I got to see him for about a year before he had passed away, so like in real time. So I got to see him kind of towards the end of his life, and he was still babyface when I first started watching, but he just kind of gravitated me, man. Like his charisma, his style, the gimmick, especially the lowriders. I was really big in the lowriders as a kid, you know, in the era that we grew up in. Those are like really big in like fashion hip hop, like the baggy clothes.
Hell yeah.
So I used to know somebody used to have one, man, and he used to let me ride in it and stuff. And he used to, you know, bounce.
I bet that was fire. Let me ask you, did you ever play I Lie, I Cheat, I Steal?
Yeah, I never got to get behind the wheel because I was only a kid, but he let me get in a couple times. He had the spinner rims and all. It was like I said, fire. This is 2004 and five, you know. So this is like the
classic, yeah. Time,
you know? But he was the first wrestler that really kind of gravitated my attention. I was like, nah, Eddie Guerrero, man, he's got some swag. Once I fully started to dive into wrestling more, probably around, 05. Was it 05 or 06? Yeah, 05. Okay, so 05 was when I really started to get into wrestling heavily. Like, that's when I started getting, like, the DVDs, and, like, I started I would get to watch WrestleMania occasionally year by year. First wrestling pay-per-view I ever watched, WrestleMania 21. So,
nice.
Occasionally I would get to get a WrestleMania, like, because we weren't, like, rich, but I had, you know, I was the only child, so I was like, all right, you know, I kind of talk away and stuff sometimes. I was like, man, it's a one-time thing, 1 year. Like a one-year occasion. I don't ask for much. You know,
my mom wasn't trying to buy pay-per-views either, brother. I feel you.
She wasn't. My grandma usually bought them mostly. So my grandma was always coming through for me, you know, because mom wasn't really buying it. But I always knew because I was my mom's only child. I have other siblings, but I was my mom's only child. So my grandma, I'm her only grandson.
Oh, she hook it up. Yeah.
I always knew never to ask. I'm never going to ask mom. I'm going straight to grandma anyway. Straight to grandma. Let me see. WrestleMania coming up. You already know what the deal is. So she was always, it means she always just knew. Sometimes she would even buy other shows, you know what I'm saying, without me even knowing. Like I would stay at her house every once a week, and I come there and she'd be like, it'd just be on the DVR.
I got
like,
it. Yeah.
I bet. Like I didn't even ask for it. All right, cool. So Eddie was the first one that really kind of got me into it. But we all have our all-time favorites, like our, I guess, childhood heroes or ones that we look up to and whatever, you know what I'm saying? Everybody has their own different genres, depending on what area you're from. But for me, there's only the era that we grew up in. There's only really three people, for the people that I know who grew up, that you really, really liked. It was either Cena, Jeff Hardy, or Batista. Those were really the three. And I was once I saw John Cena, that was it for me, man. That was the dude for me. John Cena is definitely my all time favorite.
100%. I was a Cena and Batista kid. I couldn't get, and because I'm a little chunkier, I'm a bigger guy. Yeah. I was always Batista Cena because I could never do the Swanton bombs. I couldn't flip.
I was never a big Jeff Hardy guy myself. I was never really a big Batista guy either. But I did like those guys, you know. But I had watched Cena when he was still doing the Thuganomics stuff when I first started watching. So he was still doing that. So I got to watch his build up to winning his first title. But I vividly remember it was after I watched the I Quit match with JBL at Judgment Day, because my grandma had bought me the DVD. So I had watched it and everything. And after watching that, I was like, nah, yeah, yeah, can't nobody tell me nothing about him, bro. That dude's him, bro.
I love how our era really rock, because people boo John Cena. They talk about the Super Cena era, but like,
they did it back then, but they love John Cena now.
That's what I'm about to say. If you were someone like us who grew up, we rocked with Cena the whole way. I still watch anything Cena does movie wise. I support the guy,
He drops, I'm watching it, bro. I've seen all the movies he's in, all the shows, but that's honestly with any wrestler. That's with Batista.
True.
I've seen everything Batista's in, The Rock. I watch all his stuff, even though he plays the same character in damn near every movie. But it's like, you know, it's just anything a wrestler does, if you're a wrestling fan, you just happen to
support it. That's a fact. Who would you say, real quick, not, and we'll get back to your favorite wrestlers.
Yeah, yeah.
Best wrestling actor. Which I think is Batista, because I think Batista's an actual actor. And then I go Cena second and Rock third, just because
Rock like
plays himself.
Yeah, The Rock is the biggest one for sure. Honestly, the Rock we're seeing right now, he need to bring that to the movies, man.
Yes! If that was Black Adam would still exist.
Yeah. If he bringing that to the Fast franchise, okay. I can get behind Luke Hobbs, you know what I'm saying? Like, Luke Hobbs might be his best character, honestly, because he was more of like, I don't take no bullshit type stuff, you know what I mean?
Facts.
Type stuff, but
that was Luke Hobbs and not The Rock. 100%.
I can't fault him for doing something that works. I mean, he's still like one of the highest paid actors in Hollywood. So like
top number
in
one.
His mind, he's probably looking at stuff like, why would I change up? And people watch his movies. So it's like, what are they talking about? He's a bad actor, but I really feel like if he really wanted to act, he could really act. You know what I mean? Because he did some good movies before he was really big. I still think his best movie is Gridiron Gang. I don't know if you've ever seen that.
True,
but
yeah, that is a good
Gridiron
movie.
Gang was mm-hmm. a really good fucking movie. You know
yeah, it was.
And this was before The Rock got all swolled up and he had hair still. I mean, so
yeah,
like,
I was about to say, that's hair, Rock.
Yeah, this is before he even was big in Hollywood like that. And that was a really good movie. So it's like, I thought he did good in Hercules. I like the Fast franchises.
I was about to say, Hercules, to me, in terms of action movies, that might be his best, like, pure action movie.
Hercules was pretty good. I like, you know, I like the Fast movies. I love the Rampage movie with the big gorilla and stuff. I thought that was really dope. I enjoyed that movie, like the aspect of the animals getting big. That was pretty cool. But some of his movies can be over the extreme a little bit, like, you know, like
Skyscraper,
Red Notice. Jumping off the building. Like, ain't nobody doing that, but okay. You know what I'm saying? Like, ain't nobody jumping from a higher building to another building. You know what I'm saying? San Andreas saving the earthquake. Like, ain't nobody saving. Like, when he was driving up that water and that ship came down, he was getting they dead right there. You know what I'm saying? But somehow they managed to get past the ship. So it's like,
escape from which mountain?
Yeah, it's like, so some of his movies can be a little extreme, but I do think Batista is the best overall actor. What solidified it for me when I watched him at Knock at the Cabin, I thought he did really good in that movie.
Because if you look at Blade Runner 2049 in Dune, he doesn't have as much speaking roles and as much speaking parts in that. That's more so his physicality and his facial expressions. But to your point, Cabin in the Woods or Knock at the Cabin, which I forget which one it's called.
Knock at the Cabin, yeah.
Knock in the Cabin, that's him acting his butt off in that movie.
He did really good in that. I mean, obviously him playing Drax too.
Facts.
Extremely top tier as Drax, you know what I'm saying? But watching him play a serious role in that, and then Army of the Dead, I thought was pretty good too. But watching him playing a serious role in that movie, I thought he did very well. And Cena's getting up there too. I think Cena's still progressing. Peacemaker
is what did it for me for Cena. I was like, oh, bro, you have nailed this comedy shit.
Peacemaker is hilarious. Ricky Sinicky was funny as too. So,
yes, it was.
He's more on the comic side. I think more of those guys need to do more serious roles, though. Like I want to see The Rock do like a romantic com or something. Like, do something serious, you know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
can you play something like that? You know,
dip
what I mean?
Your toes in that for sure.
Yeah, so, see if you do something like that. But
we got Eddie Guerrero. Yeah, I was about to say, we got Eddie Guerrero and Cena. Give me the next three.
Kurt Angle, I already said, was in my top five favorites all time.
Gotcha.
Was always really into Kurt Angle as far as his entertainment value, his wrestling style. I mean, Kurt Angle was different, bro.
That was a monster.
Cena's my all-time favorite for sure. That will never change. Undertaker is also in there. He was my second favorite forever. He's now my third favorite ever, though, because he got passed up. I would probably say probably two years ago. It was really hard because I was debating, because Taker was my second favorite since I was a kid. I mean, since I was really young, like, his character work and everything. Like, I feel like everybody, no matter what era you come from, if you're watching the 90s,
you like Taker,
the 2000s, I feel like everybody at one point when they were watching WWE, especially as a kid, everybody believed like he really was the Undertaker. Like, I thought he really was the guy. I didn't think he was a human. Like, I was like, nah, he's really like this weird guy. I mean, like, he's
not from this earth.
Yeah, he's like a mysterious person. Like, when I was a kid, I was like, how is he in the ring? I'm saying, like, the lights go off. Not understanding fully, you know what I'm saying? Like,
and that him versus Randy Orton, that feud was like, how's this dude living? Like, yeah, to me, people talk about rivalries that Undertaker had, and they never mention him versus Randy. That's, like, my favorite Undertaker rivalry.
Him and Taker and Orton and Taker and Batista were, like, two of my favorites growing
up.
Especially along with Orton. They had really good matches, man. Really good matches. But Undertaker was always my second favorite all time for a while. But I ain't gonna lie to you, man. After this Tribal Chief stuff, Roman Reigns.
Roman the one? Okay.
Roman Reigns takes the second spot for me, man. I really would love to put him at number one, but I can't put him over Cena. Just he was that guy for me. But Roman Reigns, after, like, I never disliked him. He was always my favorite in the Shield. Even when he was the big dog, I understood why people hated him, but still didn't dislike him. I was just like, they just need to stop trying to push him as the face. Like, it's not gonna work. You know what I'm saying? And then after seeing it was honestly that Hell in a Cell match with Jey Uso. After watching that stuff and like the cinema of the storytelling, I'm like, nah, this dude creeping.
He up there.
He creeping in my top fives already, man. So Roman Reigns would be number two. The Undertaker would be number three, and The Rock would be number four, and then Kurt Angle would be number five.
Gotcha. Heck yeah. So we got Cena, Roman, Undertaker, Rock, and then Angle.
Those would be my top five. They're not the best. Just my top five.
Your favorites.
Personal favorites. The Rock is my favorite from the Attitude Era. I think The Rock is the most entertaining wrestler to ever grace the presence.
Oh, yeah.
Ring. So
the fact that he was able to do what he did and go to Hollywood and come back. And even right now, I look at it where he just beat Cody Rhodes' ass. And we're going to talk about it with Monday Night Raw. Mm-hmm. And people want to boo this guy. But when he still came out, New York had to cheer. They had to cheer first because that is how entertaining that dude is, man.
Yeah. Those would be my five favorites. If I had to break down the rest of the five for the 10, no particular order. CM Punk would be in there.
Okay.
Randy Orton would be in there. Cody Rhodes would be in there. If I had to pick two more, I said Punk, Orton, Cody.
You got Eddie too, because we didn't count
Eddie Guerrero.
In the first five.
Eddie Guerrero would be in there, so that makes nine. And if I had to pick one more, it's always hard to kind of narrow down at the end of the day, because there's so many
greats,
so many favorites that people that you've seen over the years and watched and really liked. If I had to pick one more, I would probably. Oh man, that's a tough one. I gotta think.
Tough. Would you give it to AJ? Give it a little TNA love or Samoa Joe?
Samoa Joe would be pretty dope. If I had to pick one more, honestly, I would probably pick Kenny Omega.
Ooh, okay. I gotta say, Kenny Omega is one of the reasons that this podcast started, because I was getting back into I was watching WWE, but I was trying to get into the AEW realm, and my co-host was like, bro, go watch Kenny Omega and Kazuchika Okada, and then from there, I'll tell you where to go. And literally did a deep dive into that, started watching the Bullet Club documentaries. Like, that guy is special, man. And I see why Kurt Angle says the person he wishes he could wrestle the most today is Kenny Omega. That guy's incredible.
Yeah, Kenny Omega is dope, man. I really got into New Japan in high school, and it was Kenny Omega and Tetsuya Naito. Those were the two guys that really got me into New Japan style when I really started really kind of paying attention to it. And then watching like Okada versus Omega at Wrestle Kingdom and like Dominion.
The Terminator match. Ooh, that shit was crazy.
Two out of three falls match. Like, Man, the match they would have would be crazy. But those would be my my 10 male favorites. Just to me, I separate the male and female list. So I don't like to combine.
I do
them
too.
They're too hard for me.
No, 100%, and both deserve their shine. So yeah. So for those that want to know a little bit about Malik, that's his favorites. Now we got to jump into it because reason I brought you on here, I love your takes on Wrestle Talk. We got to talk, and I asked you to wait till after Raw because I knew something would go down. Right. First off, how are you feeling about this WrestleMania season, the road to WrestleMania? Like you said, The Rock, Roman, and Cody Rhodes are all in your top 10 favorites. We just saw one of the best endings last week when The Rock beat Cody's ass senseless. And I was kind of like, man, Roman needs to be in here. Well, Roman was in there tonight and whooped Cody and Seth's ass. How are you feeling about this buildup with WrestleMania this upcoming weekend?
I'm gonna answer that with a question myself.
Okay.
For you.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know who your favorites are. So your favorites may be a little bit different. Going, let's say, last year, who did you think was gonna win between Roman and Cody?
Oh, this will tell you exactly where I stand. I wanted Cody to finish the story. I wanted it to end. I thought he was gonna win.
Did you really think he was going to win last year?
Oh, yeah, no, 100%. I picked and look, last year my record for picking up PLEs and whatnot, I was above 500. I think I only missed like 10 or 15, and I got 30 right out of what we did. So I picked Cody to win. I thought the story clamored, like the story went that way. So I am not upset that he lost because I think now it's better that he lost because before I was going to say it was a travesty that he didn't win. But seeing the build, knowing about his dad's history with hard times, it's like he needed to lose.
So you had Cody winning last year. He lost. Mm-hmm. Now let's say when Cody won the Rumble and he pointed at Roman, who do you think was – what was your immediate thought?
Oh, it's time. We're finishing the story, baby.
Then The Rock comes back.
Mm-hmm.
Now he's involved in it. First, it looked like he was going to steal that spot.
Facts.
Then they did an audible.
I was part of the Cody Crybabies. I tweeted, Triple H, how could you let this happen?
They did the audible. Rock turned heel now. He's the final boss. Hollywood Rock's all turning great now.
Mm-hmm.
After the build we've seen, after the last 2 weeks, what is your thought now?
Oh, look. After the last 2 weeks, and you know how it is, whoever usually wins the go-home, I look at the go-home, who wins, that's going to determine how some of the things are going to go. Cody and Seth got their ass beat 2 weeks in a row. I think they lose Saturday in the tag, and I think we get Avengers Endgame, baby, and we're...
So you still have no nervousness that Roman...
Oh, I have extreme nervousness. Don't get my confidence in my boy Cody twisted. I am nervous as hell because Roman's the one guy that it's like,
I don't know if you watched the documentary last night.
Yep. How he say he leaving?
I don't know if you heard what they've been saying, but Roman said if he's not number one, he's not going to be there. They saying if he lose, he's leaving.
Mm-hmm.
It could be a swerve. It could all be just mind games for all we know.
And to me, it reminds me of last year, because I don't know if you remember, the Cody doc dropped right before... WrestleMania and Cody lost. It did. I just feel that this is the swerve of we dropping the Roman doc. Let's give Roman his flowers because when he loses, this man is the GOAT. You got John Cena calling him the GOAT on the doc.
So he honestly, people may not want to say it, but after what he's done.
Oh, it's hard to argue. He's not if not GOAT, he's top three and not three.
he's top 10 for sure. I think at this point, I think he's easily solidified himself as top 10.
I'm with you.
Some people will still digress. The people who I feel like will digress either just don't like Roman or still kind of hold on to the big dog stuff. But that was mainly due to stuff out of his control. If you watch the doc, he didn't like most of that
shit. He
ain't
like none of that shit, bro.
Something that he had to do. But the peak that he's showing just, to me, eclipses every bad thing that happened to him as the big dog. Because he's,
I agree.
Number one, he's grown in every aspect. He's gotten better in every way. And he's showing his full potential with this run that he could have always done this if he was just able to do so. So,
and what's great, just to add on to what you're saying, he's also good in the ring. People don't like to give him credit. he's not bad in the ring. He is actually that's what I'm saying. Daniel Bryan wouldn't have worked with him as much as he did if he wasn't as good in the ring. That's how I feel about it, at least.
So going into this WrestleMania, I think WrestleMania 40 is going to be sensational.
I'm with you.
I think it's going to be tremendous. I like everything they've announced. They've announced every match for night one, night two. I like the way the card is structured. Obviously, some builds were kind of lackluster, didn't have that steam, but not every build is going to be great. I just wait till the show happens. Wait till the show happens and see what's going to happen. Some builds will be more interesting than others. But going into this WrestleMania, I'm all for, I think this is Cody's match to win. I think gotcha. I just don't see logically how he could lose and still overcome more adversity or have to bounce back. Like, to me, I feel like the fans are just going to give up at that point if he loses. You know what I mean?
And they've been waiting for this babyface since Cena. Like, they haven't had this guy to be the true babyface face of the company since Cena. It's like, do you pass that up?
But I don't want to say the word comfortable, but...
Oh, it's far. It's not. It's nerve-wracking.
With Roman being champion, he's done so much.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think anybody can fill those shoes, not even Cody, which he doesn't have to. But with him being the champion, I feel like every time, and I've said this in the post, so I'm guilty myself. I said that if Roman wins, I don't know how much further you can stretch out the story and tell him being the champion than you haven't already done already. But every time this Bloodline storyline got stale, they always found a way to bring it back up and revive it. It's happened every time. So I can't put anything past that they can't make some magic happen. I just feel like at this point, it just hurts Cody lose. It just hurts Cody more to lose than it will to have Roman win. That's how I'm seeing it. Last year was totally fine. I didn't think there was a wrong person to win either match. If Cody had won, I would have been totally fine with it. Roman winning, had no issue with it. But this year's a little bit different. This man has been built up for a whole year. He won another Royal Rumble. He almost had it taken away from him. And now The Rock's involved and everything. I just don't see how, from a logical booking standpoint, it makes sense for Cody to not achieve the ultimate goal, lose again, and then have to tell the story of him finishing the story another year. Because at this point, let's be honest, nobody really sees Roman losing unless it's at WrestleMania. It's not going to happen anywhere else besides WrestleMania. So 100. If it's going to happen at WrestleMania 40, it's going to happen at 40. We got to wait till 41. To another 365 days. So I just don't see logically how it makes sense to have Cody lose, which could kill all his momentum as a babyface, which could really digress him in all these directions to be that top babyface. I just don't see how it makes sense for him to lose. Now, whether he wins or not, I honestly still don't know. I really don't at this point.
If you had to pick today, I know you said you see Cody's story happening, but if I'm putting your feet to the fire and making you pick the tag match in the main event, give me your picks.
Well, the tag match, the Bloodline. That's,
yeah,
that's,
for sure. Okay, we're on the same page with that. Facts.
Bloodline definitely not losing the tag match. As far as Cody and Roman, man, if I had to pick, I still have to go with Cody. I just don't see how he can lose, and it just doesn't make sense for him to lose in my mind.
Now, does Cody take the pin on the tag team? I think he should.
Yes.
Because that way you keep Seth straight for his match.
Unless Drew McIntyre was to get involved.
Ooh, good point.
And the only way Cody doesn't get pinned is if Drew gets involved, takes out Seth, and then the Bloodline capitalizes, and like Cody tries to come in for the save, but it's too late, and then he realizes he lost. Like, he didn't lose himself, but he just lost that match. And now he realizes what's coming on Sunday, you know what mm-hmm. I mean? So maybe that aspect, one of those two things will happen for sure. No doubt in my mind.
I'm with you. I'm with you on that. Okay, so I'm going to ask you about a couple matches before we get you up out of here. Drew and Seth, that's one of the bigger matches of the weekend. I have Drew winning. How do you feel about that?
Drew winning. Possibly Damian Priest cashing in at this point.
Okay, so I'm glad I asked this then. To me, that Priest briefcase is staler than the bread that's I got on my counter. It is rough.
It's done for me, but he been getting a little bit more serious lately. So
if he cashes in, he got to lose, right?
I don't know, man. Maybe he wins. Maybe they have okay. Drew take a maybe they have Drew take a different route. I'm not really sure.
The story with Punk is just there though, man.
Punk's gonna be at ringside, so I wouldn't be shocked if after Drew wins, he does something to Drew. Priest comes out and capitalizes on that moment. So
now if that happens, I'm with it. I see. I like that booking. I need because the Punk story is set up for Seth to come back, Drew, and all of that. If Punk causes the reason for Damian to win, then I'm with it. But if it's just Damian cashing in, and I just don't, I don't see what that does for me. I feel like we lost his moment.
It doesn't do anything for me as far as, you know, injecting anything to my veins. You know, personally, yeah. it don't do nothing for me. But he got to do something with that briefcase, man. He got to do something.
Yeah, I'm with you. Okay, another match that I'm very interested in: LA Knight AJ Styles. How do you feel that one goes?
I'm not really crazy about LA Knight, man. I don't dislike him. He's totally fine. I understand why people do like him.
You're not on the hype train like everybody else. I feel respect.
He's just not one of my favorites. I'm just not like, he's cool, you know what I'm saying? But I'm not going to say he's like in my personal favorites.
Gotcha.
I do think this is his match to win, though. They got to put a tight on him, I think, sometime this year. I mean, his momentum was really hot last year. Still there, maybe not as big as it was, you know, a couple months ago and everything, but I still think he's one of the top stars that they gotta keep him there. You know,
I feel like they did the AJ Styles thing because Triple H believes in the, after hearing the Triple H post scrums about LA Knight after Money in the Bank, it's like, we want to solidify him, and I feel like the AJ Styles victory makes him a made man in that sense.
Plus, AJ Styles can
take a loss
with the broomstick.
Facts.
He can work with anybody in the ring and make them look good. So LA Knight would be fine.
Now let me ask you about some of the women's matches. Bayley, I'm super ecstatic for. I would love Bayley to beat EO. And with that match, it's not just that match, but Damage Control versus the Big Three, baby. Jay, Bianca, and Naomi. That moment reminded me of the Nation of Domination with Rock holding up his fist. I need those three women to win, man.
Yeah, they're definitely gonna win. Sucks for Asuka because she ain't won a match at WrestleMania at all.
True.
She getting packed up again. I don't, especially with Jade having her first, she's not losing her first big match. You know what I'm saying?
And you're not ending the Bianca streak on this either.
Yeah, so Jade will dominate at the end and get the victory for her team, no doubt. Io and Bayley. Mentioned earlier about favorites. Bayley is my all-time favorite women's wrestler. She's okay. Number one for me. The build-up really hasn't been what I wanted it to be, but I think Bayley has done more than enough to deserve this moment. She's been putting people over like the last 2 years, damn near. And even when they formed Damage Control, she still was the weak link when she's supposed to be the leader, which is kind of crazy to me. Like, she was the only one to never win a title. She was the one losing all the matches for them.
Taking all the pins.
Losing to, like, Shotzi and stuff. I'm like, bro, this is crazy. You know what I'm saying? But, you know, I understand people got to get back sometimes, and it was just her time to kind of get back. I think it's her time to shine again, man. I think Bayley is criminally overlooked a lot, especially being a part of the Four Horsewomen with Sasha Banks, Mercedes Moné, Charlotte Flair, and Becky Lynch, who were all great in their own rights. But I think Bayley could hold a candle to her stick against anybody. I think she is one of the top five greatest women's wrestlers ever in WWE history, without a doubt. Mount Rushmore for me. So
I'm right there with you. She's not my number one. I'm a Mercedes Moné guy, but Bayley's number two for me. I think what she did from the hugger endeared me so much. And that match at TakeOver with her and Mercedes Moné was, to me, the best women's wrestling match to date. So I'm right there with you. I would love to see 100%. Bayley to get this moment. I got two more matches to ask you about. The tag match. This is controversial. People want the tag ladder match where people want R-Truth to take the Raw and want someone else to take the SmackDown. Do you see it getting split? And if so, who are the two teams that you think split it up?
It's going to be split now that they've kind of confirmed it. I think it's going to be Awesome Truth and DIY.
Ooh, okay. So you think DIY is going to end up going to SmackDown?
Awesome Truth might end up going to SmackDown.
Oh, okay, true. It could be maybe
one or the other, but I think Awesome Truth and DIY are going to take the titles. I mean, a sleeper, though, could be Grayson Waller and Austin Theory. They could be a sleeper. I've heard some big, heavy rumors about
your boys, the Motor City Machine Guns, yeah!
But I don't know if they're I don't know if they're like mainstream popular like that. They've never been in WWE. It's not like the Hardys true. Coming back, you know what I mean? Like the Hardys were WWE before anything. So I don't know what kind of reaction the Motor City Machine Guns, the casual fans will know. I'm going to lose my shit. But
yeah,
I feel like the Motor City Machine Guns are more of like a Raw after WrestleMania type vibe. You know what I mean?
I agree. And what better way to do that than having the new tag team champs at Raw and having those guys come out and say, we're going out. We've done everything else in the world, but get these belts. And this is what we're going for.
Yeah, so I think I'm gonna say DIY and Austin Truth. Austin Theory and Grayson Waller wouldn't be a sleeper because it could be one heel, one babyface team. But DIY was my pick to win anyway before they kind of announced you gotta grab both titles, you know, whatever they said on Raw. So
and you know Triple H love him some Johnny Gargano and Ciampa.
Match of the I think this is gonna be match of the week though.
Oh, okay. That was gonna be my final question. So that's gonna get your match of the week. And then since that's answered, my final question, Jay and Jimmy. I want Jay to win, but it's like, man, I feel like Jimmy needs to win more.
No, Jay's going to win for sure. He's just more bigger than Jimmy.
Yeah, he is.
Jimmy the better Uso, though. Don't get me wrong.
Ooh, wait, that's a hot take.
Jimmy's the better Uso, but Jay is just top three most popular superstars.
He is the top merch sales this week. Like I just saw the
realistically
report.
It's probably Cody, Jay, and Trick Williams right now. I mean, mm-hmm. Those are probably the three. So I don't see the Usos being split up forever. I think once Jimmy is out of the bloodline, he's going right back to Jay. So they're gonna be a tag team again. I mean, they don't really like hate each other. If you saw the beef in the promo, it's kind of like, mm-hmm. you know, they still got that love. It's just they're brothers.
Heads. They got a fight right now. That's all it is.
They butting heads, but eventually though, like if Roman and Solo and The Rock beat down Jimmy in the ring, Jay will come
Jay's
out
coming.
And do something. Yeah. He's gonna sit back and just let that happen. You know what I'm saying? So
big facts,
especially when you a twin. You know what I mean? So this is different. It's a different culture, a different vibe. I don't have a twin, but I mean, you can understand. You know what I'm saying
100%. And I guess. Oh, go ahead.
Oh yeah, but I think Jay gets the dub though, man. I think that opens night one of WrestleMania.
Hell yeah! So that's our WrestleMania talk. I want to thank Malik for coming on. One final question because
I got more time if you want. We can
okay, we can run it then. Hell yeah, let's run it. Okay, so let me ask you, Rhea and Becky.
Becky better not win. She don't need that.
She does not. That, thank you.
Rhea, I don't. I love Becky and Rhea's matchup. I think that'll be top three match of the week as well. Because Becky's been having great matches for the last year. And Rhea has great matches as well, but. I think whoever beats Rhea needs to be somebody that you could help elevate up next in the women's division. And Becky's already done everything. So it needs to be like a Tiffany Stratton, a Jay Cargill, even a Bianca, but it would have to be like a heel Bianca Belair.
So you think it'd have to see, because I always thought you could do Rhea, Bianca, and have it be Cena Edge or Cena Orton and have Bianca.
Yeah, I think if Bianca was to beat Rhea, she got to be the bad guy. You know
okay.
I mean? Bad girl. Sorry. I think she got to be the bad girl because if she beats Rhea as the baby face, that's like super Bianca, whatever you want to call it again.
Yeah.
She's already done so much in the women's division as well, but we ain't seen her as the heel on the main roster like we did in NXT. And if she were to turn heel and stuff, I can get behind that.
Okay. Hell yeah. Now, let me make sure. Sami Zayn and Gunther, that's another match. And the Sami Zayn promo tonight really sold me with him and Chad Gable. Of Sammy saying, I'm scared. I needed to hear that. It's like, okay, now build yourself up from that. Can you beat him? I don't see him beating Gunther, though, but keep it a full stack.
The promo they did was really good. I like how they're still kind of inserting Chad Gable a part of it because there were people who didn't want him to be, which he had the perfect story to do so. But I think they got the long-term plans for him. Sammy and Gunther is also going to be a top three match of the week. I mean, Gunther has nothing but great matches. Sami Zayn is great in the ring himself. He's starting to give me like them NXT underdog Sami Zayn vibes again, which I really like, especially after tonight. But he's still getting backed up.
Thanks.
He's not being Gunther. Sorry.
Yes, thank you. I'm with you.
Gunther is different, bro.
I would love for, and see, this would be poetic, if Chad Gable beats Gunther at Bash in Berlin. Beat him in his home country.
Yeah, I mentioned that on the pod. Like, what if they had Chad Gable face Gunther in Bash of Berlin in Germany, even though Gunther is from Austria, he speaks German. So it'd be like kind of his backyard. And Gunther beat Chad Gable in his hometown, so it'd be kind of like
poetic.
The roles reversed. I don't know. I still don't believe in Chad Gable to beat Gunther though. I don't want him to be the guy to beat Gunther.
See, I saw a report the other day of when Ilya Fightville posted this of when Ilya Dragunov comes up, they want to push him like Gunther. Maybe it's Dragunov that ends up.
I still don't want it to be Ilya either.
Oh, who do you have a preference?
I still think it should be Sheamus.
Oh, I like that. I'm not mad at that. When does he have you heard of anything when he comes back? I haven't kept up on Sheamus news. If I'm gonna be keeping a stack,
probably Raw after Mania. I guess he's been off TV since he lost to Edge, so I'm not sure why he's been off TV. I don't know if he's been hurt. They signed nothing for him, but because they broke up, the Brawling Brutes.
Yeah, Butch. Rich Holland retired.
Rich, I think it's
storyline. Yeah, work for sure.
I think it's storyline stuff. And then Pete Dunne is teaming up with Tyler Bate, New Cash Republic, and that's they cooking as a team.
Fire, yeah.
I think Sheamus come back. I just feel like it would be bigger for Chad Gable or Ilya Dragunov to beat Gunther, but I think Sheamus just had the best story to be the one to beat him. Not even because he's never won the Intercontinental title. I feel like
their rivalry, their beef.
I feel like he's the only guy to me that I look at, maybe other than Ilya, because Ilya and Gunther had great matches, and Ilya did beat Gunther and everything for the UK title and everything. But when it comes to intensity and physicality, I feel like Sheamus is the perfect match for Gunther. You know what I mean? Like, he's hard hitting. Like, that match they had at Clash of the Castle, oh gosh, man, that was like
5-star.
It was just a physical, hard hitting match, man. Two Europeans just, you know, beating the crap out of each other. You know what I mean? And Chad Gable just doesn't scream that to me. I think he's a great wrestler, but he don't scream that intensity like those guys do. Ilya is another one. Like I said, he's those Europeans, bro. I don't know what it is, but I'm European. Pete Dunne, all them.
They go hard, man.
It was different, man.
That's a fact. Now, this will be the last thing I want to ask you, and just to get away from WrestleMania and WWE, I've never heard you really speak on this. How do you feel about AEW? Are you a fan? Do you watch it?
And I was big on AEW from 2019 to 2021, especially 2021. 2021 was peak AEW, man. After that, though, 2022 was okay, but they've fallen off a lot for me. The product is kind of reminding me how WWE was, like that 2018, 2019 era where it's just stale and there's no really good appealing stories that stand out. They have great talent there. I love Swerve, MJF, Kenny Omega. Luchasaurus has been one of my favorites for a minute, man. Everybody always called me crazy for liking. I was like, man, Luchasaurus got potential, man. I always liked Luchasaurus. Christian has been doing great stuff. Obviously, they have Edge there now, and you know, everybody.
They got my guy, Adam Cole. I need Adam Cole to come back healthy, man.
He was doing great stuff before he got hurt and everything. That MJF storyline was really good, but they just don't stand out to me. Like, I was big into AEW more than WWE for like that 2-year span. And then right around 2021, WWE really started to kind of pick back up again. But 2022 is really when they kind of, when Triple H got his hands on it, I was like, oh, okay. And then everything started to get even better.
I feel like when Cody left, that's when AEW started to fall.
Cody leaving was an eye-opener. Mm-hmm. I was at that WrestleMania when he came back.
Oh, shit. How was that moment seeing Cody come back and everything was...
We was all anticipating. We was waiting to see what was going to happen. But the fact that he really came back and it was really him was really crazy. My reaction was crazy, went viral and everything. But watching him come back kind of told me something is
wrong.
You know what I'm saying? Like, he helped create the company. He was one of the EVPs. He was in a position of power to try to help better the roster. But I don't know if you watched that stuff CM Punk said today.
I did. CM Punk opened my eyes.
All that stuff that he said is probably how Cody honestly felt. He's not going to say it like that.
You know, the leadership, man, that's what really opened my eyes, when Punk was like, bro, I begged Tony Khan to say something, like, tell them something, but he would not say something. And you know, every time we hear AEW criticisms is they don't have a true leader over there and there's no boss, which is crazy.
Yeah, I mean, of course, you know, anytime CM Punk's in the drama, he's the one that kind of gets the backlash because he's the problem, you know what I mean? But nobody knows the full stories. And after listening to what he said, he's like, bro, he tried to get things resolved the right way. And he said that if I handle it, you're not gonna like it.
Yeah.
So, the things I handled, I'm not saying he probably should have choked anybody or anything, but
the way he said that so casually, he was like, yeah, I choked him. I didn't punch him. I was like, whoa.
The way that, I mean, I feel like at the end, it was kind of just like, bro, like he tried to do things the right way and nobody wants to see it, though. They only want to hear the bad parts that he said. Mm-hmm. Nobody wants to hear the real truth. Some people don't like the truth, bro. Like, AEW ain't what everybody wanted to be sometimes. And that was WWE was like that, too. WWE ain't what everybody wants to be sometimes. You know what I mean? Like, but I think Tony Khan needs to be that boss, though. You know, like,
yep.
If there was one thing, I know Vince has got a bad reputation right now, but when the years that he was in charge,
the buck stopped with him.
Everybody knew who ran the show, who was the
boss.
Hell
yeah. You know
what I mean? Like, everybody knew who had the final say, who the guy was, and if you didn't like it, you can leave, bro. Like,
mm-hmm.
you don't gotta be here if you don't want to be here. Like,
and we saw a lot of top stars leave there, and they always came back Vince too. One way, yeah, facts.
They always came back, and I think they always had that respect for Vince because this is the same guy that screwed Bret Hart, one of his biggest stars ever, and then when the show was over, went backstage and said, "Listen,
stop. Yeah,
I did what I had to do. I feel like it was best for my company, but if you wanna throw a punch." Man, give you a best shot, and he got knocked out by Bret Hart. So how many people you know got to set a balls that like that? You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah, facts.
facing the adversity. You know what I'm saying? Not running away from the smoke. You know what I mean? So it's like, I know he got a bad reputation right now, and I don't condone anything that he's done. I mean, he pretty much ruined his reputation in his whole life. You know,
facts.
But as far as being a boss, you hear all these stories. He was always going out there getting his ass whooped there in storylines, like doing things that he didn't have to do, but setting an example. Like, if I'm willing to go out here and get my face shoved up Big Show's ass, I don't want to hear nothing from anybody when I say I need you to go out here and do this. You know what I mean? Because it's like, what can you say? You know what I'm saying? Plus, I'm paying you handsomely too. So it's like, at the end of the day, what can you really say, man? Like, that's what Tony Khan needs. He needs to be a leader by example, not just one of the boys.
Yeah, stop being a fan. I think that it's like he loves wrestling so much and he's a fan of his dream matches. It's like, yeah, bro,
and it's okay to be a fan. I'm sure Vince was a fan too. He grew up in the business, so I'm sure he was a fan, but like,
you can't let him walk all over you.
You let the inmates run the asylum, bro. It's going to turn into WCW all over again, bro.
Facts, 100%. Oh, man, Malik, this was a great conversation. The final thing I got for you, give me your MVP of WrestleMania. And I know you said a couple times, you know, match of the night. You said a couple of them, but give me your official match of the night.
Ladder match.
Ladder match, okay. That's the match of the night. And then MVP of Mania.
As far as who's going to have...
Just the best performance. One person.
Roman Reigns.
Ooh, okay. And look, for everybody that complains about Roman not working, Roman doing two nights, baby, at WrestleMania.
even if he loses a night, too, he's still... He putting in work. He about to put in some crazy work.
Hell yeah. Thanks.
In the tag team match, I don't see... I mean, The Rock will get involved, but I think Roman's going to take most of the bumps and everything. And on night two, I think it's going to be even crazier. So they're going to cook something up, man. They're going to cook something up, man. I like the direction they're going in.
Hell yeah. Super excited for that. Thank you so much for coming on the show. Tell the people where they can follow you at on social media again and get your amazing podcast.
We got more. We got you done? You ready to wrap up?
Oh, yeah. That's all I got for you, brother. I came. I wanted to get you in, get you out at a reasonable time, but I definitely will have you back on post-WrestleMania.
We need to know your MVP and your
match. Okay. Okay. You want
match,
all right.
Match of the
okay. I got you. So for everybody listening, I'm going to give my picks officially with my co-host on Thursday, but for Malik, cause that's my guess, I'm going to give him my MVP right now and my match of WrestleMania. So my match of WrestleMania, funny enough, I think, so the ladder match I think will be great for sure, but I'm not going to pick that one. Okay. I'm going to pick a sleeper because I think they're going to go
sleeper
super hard. I'm going Logan Paul, Randy Orton, and Kevin Owens. I think Logan has had – he started off super hot, has had some misses in between.
Logan Paul is really good.
Yes, and I'm excited to see him on this WrestleMania stage with Randy Orton and KO because I think it's going to be special.
And besides, okay, besides MVP, I need to give us a bold prediction for Mania.
A bold prediction? All right.
It could even be 100%. You could say Cody finishes the story 100%, no doubt. Like, no doubt.
Okay. All right, I got one. Cody finishes the story, but Stone Cold Steve Austin comes out to help him against The Rock.
So we get that Rock and Austin face off.
Uh-huh. I think it was purposeful that they showed John Cena and Stone Cold with Cody in the middle when Rock was beating his ass, saying, like, this is the new hero.
That means something? Okay.
Yeah, and I think one of them's going to come back.
Okay. Not again. I mean, it could mean something.
If not Stone Cold and Cena, somebody's come, because Rock has history with both of them. I think one of them's going to come.
I don't know about Cena, man. I feel like... even though he's my all-time favorite, he's washed, man. Not because not because he can't go, but he's not presentable as he was.
As he used to be?
He was Super Cena, you know? Like, Super Cena show up, it's a wrap. It's a problem, but like...
Boss by Cena different.
He getting packed up by everybody, bro. Like, especially after watching that solo match. Like, oh, no, yeah, he get packed up for sure. Like, he don't get that same type of vibe, but I get they have the feud and everything. So, I like that. Bold prediction for me, I'm going to say... Oh, man. I don't want to be too nasty, but I also want to give something.
Go ahead. Be as nasty as you want.
Some realistic. I got to get something realistic, though, that I really
okay
truly believe. Because there could be a lot of surprises for Mania, too.
True. It could be. Because I see people saying MJF. I'm like, bro, y'all clowning. That's not happening.
I mean, I don't know, man. I guess anything could be possible, I guess. I guess anything could be possible. Something crazy. Cause I think Austin shows up too, but I don't know if he shows up a part of that stuff. I think Cena will be there as well.
Okay.
Maybe Lesnar.
Ooh, I don't know about that one.
Even if I feel like he was a part of the allegations, but WWE's not going to bring him back unless they got his clearance.
He's not involved. Yeah,
there's facts. No evidence to prove him back. Now, some of the fans may not realize that because some fans just don't have that common sense, I feel like, because they're just looking at the allegation part and they're not
realizing, is there evidence? Like, yeah, like...
The same with, like, the Velveteen Dream stuff. Like, when all that stuff came out, they didn't fire him right away. Like, they waited to see what happened and they let him go, which maybe there was something there. Like, all right,
well, yeah.
We got some stuff here, man. We can't keep you around type stuff. You know what I mean? So I feel like if he were to come back, it would only be because they really looked into it and found like, all right, there's nothing there to show that.
Mm-hmm. He's clear all of this.
But I mean, I don't know if he's been on the trucks and everything. He's been on the production trucks.
He has stuff. Been. And so, I think they put him back on the website. I don't know if they took him back.
Yeah, they put him back on the website and everything. So... If he shows up, Lesnar showing up, man. He's showing
okay,
up.
Okay, that's your pick. Hell yeah. All right.
I don't know what he does.
I was about to say, where do you have him showing up? Because Gunther would be fire if he showed up with the Gunther shit.
I wouldn't be surprised if he's a part of the Bloodline stuff, the Heyman situation. He got stuff with Heyman and stuff. So, I mean, I wouldn't be shocked if, like, I don't know, if maybe Cody made a call, like, hey, man, you know what I'm saying? Like,
we're friends now. Yeah.
Want some payback on Roman and Heyman, man? Hey, I'm gonna show up, man. He might come out on the tractor or something again.
I wouldn't be mad at that at all.
That would be my, I guess, sleeper.
Okay. Sleeper. Hell yeah. Well, like I said, this has been amazing. Thank you so much, Malik, for coming on the show. Like I said, I'm going to definitely ask you to come on post-Mania so we can talk about what's been going on. But tell the people where they can follow you out on social media and get your amazing podcast.
Narcolepsy Boy 94 on all social media platforms, Twitter or X now, YouTube, Twitch, TikTok especially. Everywhere you can find, man. That's where I do all my content. Instagram, same. So... that's where I do all my wrestling content. So if you guys are interested and want to follow, for the people who do follow, appreciate the support, who are familiar with me. For people who are not familiar, if you enjoy wrestling content, I don't think you'd be disappointed, man. I try to do a mixture of a lot of things, you know, so.
Hell yeah. Make sure y'all go follow him. Like I said, he's my favorite wrestling content person on TikTok. It is a great follow. And with that being said, let's finish up the pod right here. Want to say thank you to Malik for coming on the pod. Super, super great conversation. I loved at the end how he started to ask me questions. I love how he got into it. it was great. And he had a lot of hot takes, man. He had a lot of thoughts, and that's what we want. We want to show you all the different sides of wrestling. Shout out to Malik. And again, if you want my picks, remember, my picks, Pete's picks, the Workshoot Show podcast picks for WrestleMania will be out Thursday night. They will be out Thursday night on YouTube and Spotify, Apple, wherever you get your podcasts. Me and Pete film at 6 o'clock. I should be doing the interview with Johnny in this 6 o'clock Central. I should be doing the interview with Johnny if everything goes right at like 7, like right after the interview with Pete, right after doing the interview with Jonathan, right after the interview with Pete, 7 o'clock. So then you guys should have it no later than 9 p.m. Central at the latest, 10 p.m. Central on audio and video. And then that way you can go into WrestleMania, get Thursday, Friday, get our picks. I know it's close up, but that's me and Pete's recording it. But that's why we're giving you a little extra content. That's why during the week, you're going to be getting more content. But with that being said, let's start off with what I think is the major, to me, the two things that I had to discuss today was Jade, Bianca, Naomi, what that means, and CM Punk's interview. It was going to be the Raw stuff with Cody and Seth, but CM Punk's interview was insane. So Let's start positive because the CM Punk stuff is negative. And to me, the importance of the Bianca, Jade, Naomi trio is huge. I remember getting into wrestling in the Ruthless Aggression era and always seeing when they did vignettes of The Rock, they would show the picture of him with Farouk, with the Godfather. I don't know his name at that time. I just know him as the Godfather. And with D'Lo Brown, a.k.a. the Nation of Domination, eventually Mark Henry joined. And it was just a great black faction. It gave, because in wrestling, let's call a spade, it's essentially more white competitors in the major markets than black. And there's nothing wrong with that. You know, there's nothing wrong with African-American fans cheering for white wrestlers. There's nothing wrong with white wrestling fans cheering for black wrestlers, cheering for all races. You cheer for who you like. But there's a point to what I'm saying. As a black kid growing up, there weren't many black wrestlers as men. And on women, you can count on your hand. So when we got wins with The Rock, it was huge. It was huge because it was like, oh, we can do this too. We are good at this too. When we get champions like the Bobby Lashley's, when we get champions like Kofi Kingston, like Big E Langston, those things matter. Those things mean a lot. And I know everybody's like, we're tired of the diversity thing. We're tired. Like, come on, man. We're fans too. We should be allowed to see ourselves in the wrestler as well. And my thing is, I'm not for diversity for diversity's sake. No. If you're good enough, you deserve it. And the guys that I named are good enough. There's an article that I'm writing. Shout out to VGBD Sports, Vagabond Sports, the blogging partner of the Bros Think Network. I'm going to be writing about five wrestlers that I think got overshadowed in this WrestleMania period. And one of those is the Street Profits. The Street Profits are good enough to where they deserve to be winning. But they're not at the moment. Bianca is incredible and deserved to go on that run. When there are people on TikTok hating on Bianca because of her race, it breaks my heart. Because it's like, bro, black fans don't hate on these white wrestlers because of their skin. We don't do that. We support all. We support all of you. White, Asian, Latino, it doesn't matter. We support all races of wrestlers. Why can't you support the black wrestlers the same? Why don't you cheer for the black wrestlers the same? Why is it that they have to be looked at one certain way? And it just breaks my heart because Bianca is giving young women, forget the race, young women everywhere. It's showing them that they are powerful too. Think about this. Women wrestling in my lifetime, it was bra and panty matches, brother. They was shaking their ass on people. It is what it is. Call a spade a spade. Now they're showing them as equal athletes to the men, as they should be. And it starts with the Four Horsewomen. But let's call a spade. The only person of color in the Four Horsewomen was Sasha Banks. And a lot of the women that were pushed for a long time were white women. it didn't get a lot of diversity showing these other races they could be champions. That's why Io Sky, Kairi Sane, Oscar are so important. That's why Zelina Vega, so important. That's why Bianca Belair is so important. So for her to be the John Cena of the women's division as a black woman is huge. And to see for the first time an all-black woman faction, and they might not even be a faction, it might just be one match of Jade, Naomi, and Bianca all pointing at the WrestleMania sign. It reminded me of The Rock joining the Nation Domination, everybody holding up the fist. It's that impactful. That will be played on loop forever. That picture will be used in WWE things going forward forever, as it should. It was a legendary moment. And as a black man, it touched my soul. I could only imagine what that meant for black women, for young women, for women everywhere, to see these three powerful women join together and say, hey, we're here and we represent you all and we're going to win at WrestleMania. So to me, that was the most important thing I saw in wrestling leading up to this week of WrestleMania. So wanted to start off with that. Now let's get into CM Punk's interview. I listened to the whole thing with Ariel Helwani. Shout out to Ariel Helwani. He is legitimately the gold standard for me when it comes to journalism, interviewing. That guy does his homework. He does it thorough. There's no one, at least in my opinion, at least in the fight game and in combat sports and pro wrestling, that interviews like Ariel Helwani. He might not make the best opinionated content. He might not make the best discussing these things, at least for wrestling. And I can't speak about UFC because he just discusses UFC perfectly. But in terms of opinionated wrestling content, he might not be there. But in terms of interviewing, he's top tier. And he got to the nitty gritty and made Punk open up. And basically, I know a lot of people are talking about Punk talking about guaranteed contracts is horrible and this, that, and the third, and talking about they're missing the point. That is not, and yes, that is wrong. Because all wrestlers should be getting paid. Forget the billionaires, forget these companies. Pay your talent. These people are doing a life-threatening activity. They should be paid accordingly for the amount of money they're bringing in. Punk was wrong for that. You can be wrong on one thing you say, but be right on everything else. And let me not say be right, because we're not 100% sure. But what Punk discussed about AEW in terms of Tony Khan not being a leader, we've heard that multiple times. There's no true voice in the locker room. The inmates are running the asylum. And look, why did Cody Rhodes leave? He won't speak on it. Maybe Cody Rhodes felt that this ship wasn't being led right and certain people had more voices, even though he's friends with Matt and Nick Jackson. I think this is really telling. He said his friendship with the elite grew back to how it was and better than ever after he left. Maybe they were clashing. Maybe Tony wasn't listening to Cody's ideas, but that's beside the point. What CM Punk said, and y'all know I bash CM Punk on this. I'm not saying he's 100% right. I'm saying we need to listen to him. I'm saying we need to, okay, maybe we were wrong. Let's pull back. You can admit when you were wrong. Maybe we were wrong to jump in the gun and siding with the elite. CM Punk said, I can talk about this. I wasn't the one who made a sign in NDA. I'm willing to talk about it. Why aren't they? They weren't willing to do business. CM Punk said, let's do the feud. We agree to disagree. We fought it out. Let's make up. They couldn't do it. They held grudges. They held grudges over Colt Cabana. Let's call a spade a spade. And CM Punk asked Tony Khan to fix it. Tony Khan, excuse my language, was a pussy. Too much of a nice guy. Hopefully this doesn't stop me from getting AEW press, but whatever. I'm calling a spade a spade. You listen to this show for honesty. You listen to me for honesty. I'm never going to shy away from it. Maybe if Tony Khan was a true leader and not just a mark and being a true business owner, his company would run smoother. And Punk said a very telling thing. With Collision, he was concerned about selling more tickets than the last week. Look at how these shows are empty. Tony Khan's not concerned about that. He's concerned about putting on Dave Meltzer five-star matches. You're not running a business. That's crazy. And for Jungle Boy to curse out Tony Schiavone, to curse out the doctors, to curse out everybody just because he wanted to use glass and no one could tell him anything? That's a problem, Tony. Why can't you run your business? Why can't you control this? The Jaguars aren't run this way, but that's because your dad is. It puts his foot down. You're just a softy getting walked over, and it's true. You got to be a man about this, Tony, and run a business. Nah, I'm not going to say be a man. No. Because women are strong as well. You need to be a strong individual and a good business owner and stop allowing your love of these wrestlers cloud your judgment. Because let's call a spade, and Malik said it. I don't know if I agree with him saying AEW hasn't been good since 2021, but AEW, y'all know on this podcast, Pete and I have called it. I said Jay White should have won the WWE. AEW has not been good since Punk left. Or since Triple H took back over WWE, whichever one you want to say. The MJF feud, the ending wasn't good. Granted, Adam Cole got hurt, and that ruined some things. But y'all know AEW has not been cooking. Now, recently, with Swerve and some of the Will Ospreay being there, it's been better. But let's call a spade, AEW lost a lot of steam. And I lost a lot of steam. And maybe this goes back to CM Punk's comments about Tony Khan being a bad leader. Like, and we saw the hashtag today of people coming to defend Tony. It was, let me pull it up right now. Let's see if I can still find it. Because somebody was arguing with me on Twitter about basically my comments. They basically said, so I was like, I tweeted this, that CM Punk interview was very eye-opening, to say the least. Def look at AEW and the Bucks questionable on if what Punk said was true. Someone said it's not. Again, how do you know it's not? I said, how do you know? Because he acted like this before. I don't believe a word he's saying. Basically, we support Mox. We support Tony Khan. We love AEW. No one is saying that you don't love AEW. No one is saying that... that we should not, that there's tribalism, or that we shouldn't like AEW, or that this is the AEW is better. No. We're saying that AEW has issues. And if AEW wants to get better and get top tier and not lose its company, because I don't think it's about competing with WWE, but keeping competition alive, Tony has to step up and put his foot down. Like, why is Max Caster saying all this ridiculous shit about Sammy Guevara when Sasha Banks is coming in, and you know the history, and you're targeting you're targeting Mercedes Moné? Like, look at yourself, AEW. That's a problem. Why are certain wrestlers mouthing off at leadership? There's no way Jungle Boy should be cursing out Tony Schiavone. He should get his ass whooped. He deserved to get his ass whooped. You cursing out Tony Schiavone? Tony Schiavone's a fucking legend. He's been in here longer than you've been alive, brother. Max Caster, I'm a fan, but why are you co-signing Sammy Guevara in the way of saying, I support him, screw you, Mercedes? That's what your comment gave off. Your comment gave off, forgive Mercedes, I know Sammy, my guy wouldn't do this. It's that, I have a black friend, so I could do this, or no, my friend wouldn't do this. No, bro, we gotta call that shit out. That's horrible, Max. Need your ass for that shit, brother. That woman is trying to come in here to make this place bigger than which you have it. Let's call a fucking spade a spade. Max Caster needs his ass whooped for that shit. His ass whooped. But he's allowed to do it because Tony Khan, again, is a pussy and won't do anything about it. So maybe CM Punk was right about that. And again, CM Punk could be right about that, but wrong about how he handled Brawl Out. But how he handled Jungle Boy, I'm not going to say he was wrong for that, because you shouldn't be cursing out Tony Schiavone, Doc Samson, and all these people who are telling you what to do and telling you not to do this for your safety, and you're cursing them out, saying, screw you, and then when CM Punk steps in, you're two-faced with him? Get a little choked out. No, I'm playing. CM Punk shouldn't have choked him, but at some point, brother, don't call out my hands. Don't call out my hands and not expect me to give you these actions. Another thing I want to discuss. So, Lil Wayne's coming to WrestleMania. Lit. That's fucking lit. I hope he raps. I hope he does the intro for somebody. So, shout out to Lil Wayne. Andrade joining Judgment Day. If he beats Ricochet. I like that. To me, and I'll talk more about this with Pete, I think that this is the breakup of Judgment Day. You're putting You're putting Andrade with my boy, Dominic Mysterio, maybe even with Santos, getting him over there. Damian Priest is going to do Damian Priest's thing. You have Finn and JD go off, and then you have Rhea by herself and being the star that she is. But I think the Andrade thing will lead to Judgment Day breaking up. But if it doesn't, Andrade is a good shot in the arm to boost them for what they need. Next thing, Sami Zayn's promo was so damn good. Even though I don't think Sami Zayn's going to be Gunther, they are painting him as this great underdog and having his coach, quote unquote, Chad Gable, come out beat up and then Gunther beating his ass at ringside. Look, I don't think Sami Zayn's going to win. I'm going to give my official pick. Maybe time will change. Maybe I'll feel better after talking to Pete. But I like the story. If Sami Zayn were to win, I would be okay with it. And I would think it would be good storytelling. But I know people like Malik and Pete wouldn't like that because they think Gunther deserves to be taken out by either Sheamus or Ilya Dragunov. So we'll talk more about that with Pete. And then the final thing, look, Cody and Seth took that L. Cody took that L last week. I think all of these L's, along with Saturday, is leading up to Cody dethroning Roman. And then having Roman's documentary come out and him saying, oh, I'm going to retire if I leave. Of course, we knew if he was leaving, he's going to act. He's not going to be done forever. He's working us. It's going to be part time. But he deserves that. Roman is going down as one of the best ever. He deserves that. And I think all of this hard times is leading to Cody getting a victory. But that's pretty much everything. Make sure you tune in to the Thursday episode for me and Pete's full picks. We'll be discussing this thoroughly, talking about WrestleMania, giving our picks. So make sure you check that out. You can follow me at LinBWT, follow Bros Who Think at Bros Who Think. Be on the lookout for more content. And I want to thank Malik for coming on the show. Make sure you go follow him. But for Malik, my name is Lennon. Until next time, you guys have a good one and peace.